good introduction to our sugya, and of course, this will also be a little bit of a chazora. Let's take a look at the Shulchan Aruch, and of course, we're in Aruch Chaim. We'll look at Kuf Nun Gimel. Muta lasos mi beis haKnesses beis haMedrash. So we're passing here like Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, and you're allowed to take a beis haKnesses and convert it into a beis haMedrash. The Mishnah Berurah says, "Makom hamiyuchad l'Torah u'kedushaso gedola yoser." So the kedusha of a beis haMedrash, its miyuchad l'Torah, is greater than that of a beis haKnesses. Rafilu ein derech l'spal shom klal. Even if there's no tefillah there at all. Then he quotes the Magen Avraham, "Tzarch iyani muta lasos mi beis haKnesses beis haMedrash liyachid bebeiso." What if he's reassigning the beis haKnesses for his own personal beis haMedrash? He's not sure about it. Ve'liyo rabba mitzadi lahachmer buzeh. Chen mashu b'meiri b'megila. The Mechaber says, "I'm a low beis haMedrash beis haKnesses." But you're not allowed to convert a beis haMedrash, which has a higher level of Kedusha, to a beis haKnesses, because that's being morid b'Kedusha. Sif beis, b'nei ha'ir shemachu beis haKnesses. If the members of the city sold the beis haKnesses, and they're allowed to do so if it's going up in Kedusha, and likach b'dom of teva, so they want to buy with the money that they receive for the sale of the beis haKnesses a teva on which the Sefer Torah is read. And in the past we've discussed that the teva has a direct negiah with the Sefer Torah, not with the hefsek of a mappa. Yecholim likach b'dom of mitpachas shel Sefer Torah. Yichol likach b'dom of teva, dahainu heichol shemenichem bo sefer Torah. So he says that the teva is either a luach shemamidim ol sefer Torah, or it's a heichol, it's an aron kodesh. Machu teva yichol likach b'dom mitpachas shel sefer Torah. So we're going up in Kedusha from a teva to a mitpachas. And this was all in the Mishnah at the beginning of the last perek of Megil B'nei Ha'ir. Mocher mitpachas lochem b'demei ha'sfarim. You could buy a sefer Torah, or a chumish, meaning one-fifth of the sefer Torah. You could buy nevi'im u'ksuvim. Mocher sfarim lochem b'demei ha'sefer Torah. Aval ibcha lahoridon mikdushasan asur. Va'filum kanu b'miktas ha'moz dorish ha'kidushas ha'mura en yichom lasos. So if he has extra money after the sale and he purchased something of a higher level of Kedusha, he can't use the extra money for anything but a Kedusha Chamura. Okay. Now, let's see if we can fast forward a little bit here for the moment. And let's take a look at this. He says in, let's see where we can get to. What do we want to look at? Oh, this is a long siman. Okay. What do we have over here? I wanted to take a look at the halacha regarding what you're allowed to do in a beis haKnesses and what you're not allowed to do in a beis haKnesses. Let's see if we can find that here. Oh, now take a look, for example, in Kuf Nun Aleph, We'll turn back to page 65. He says the following. With regard to Bate Knesios, there are all sorts of dinim of new kavod. Nogim ben kavod l'chabdom ul'ravtson. The Ramah adds kibud nikui habayis, ribut zrikas mayim al pnei karka. And then in Sif Yud, it says, v'afilu li'achar shechorvu adayin hein bikdu shosan. Even after they are destroyed, it still has the same Kedusha. So take a look in the Mishnah Berurah of Ches. He says, Habate Knesios Ubate Midrashos, V'atab Deksiv Vashimosi Es Mikdoshechem, V'lo Ksiv V'es Mikdoshechem Ashimem. If the word Mikdash were to come first in the Pasuk, then Ashimem to make it desolate, in part of this Tochacha, then it would indicate that what was a Mikdash is now Shamem, and it loses or forfeits its Kedusha. But here it says, Vashimosi Es Mikdoshechem, implying that even after their Shomimin, nevertheless they still retain their Kedusha. Then the Mishnah Berurah adds, V'ein Chiluk Bazeh, that have a higher level of Kedusha, that's more permanent, and that's what he has in the Shulchan Aruch in Yud Aleph in Bishas Binyan Beis HaKnesses Hisnu Olav L'shtamishpo Mutu L'shtamishpo Bichur Bono. So there could be a Tanai at the time of the Binyan Beis HaKnesses that you'd be allowed to use the Beis HaKnesses after its Churban. So that's interesting to see exactly how that Tanai works. Is it Leib Bezin Masna Leib? What is the authority to do such a thing, since there's Kedusha even after Churban? If we go back to the Mechaber in Sif Yud, he says, K'shem shenogim behem kovod b'yishuvam, kach nogim b'churbanam, chutz mikibud v'ributz. So we don't have to keep the area that clean. But other than that, we have to be knowing kavod. It's like a kedusha shall kavod, or kavod shall kedusha. V'im olbo asovim, tol shino som. Okay, that's going to be agmas nefesh. And we'll see about that in Mirz Hashem a little bit later today. Now, if you go back to the beginning of Kufnun Aleph, the general din of, shall we say, Mora Migdash or Mora Beis HaKnesses, and the same certainly applies to Beis HaMedrash, has a greater Kedusha, Noagim Bahem, Kalus Rosh, Kigon Tzchok, Vehitul, Vesicha, Vetela. And if you take a look at the Bir Alocha here, at the beginning of Kuf Nun Aleph, he says, Mikom Kom Af, Shenevdu, Averos, Gidolos, Beis HaKnesses, Mikom Kom, Mutal is pal v'los shom sefer Torah. Vein ochlim v'shosim bahem. Okay, now we take a look at the Mishnah Berurah beginning. He says, "Kihem nekron migdash me'at k'mod k'siv v'heyi lohem le'migdash me'at u'migdash k'siv v'es migdashai tiro shehei moro shel hashochin ba'olav." The Kasav Ismak Shabavon Kalos Rosh Beit Haknes Nepochim Lebeis Avodas Kalilim Chas V'Shom. So for this sin of Kalos Rosh, Chas V'Shom, it could be turned into a church, into a Mokum Avodas Zara. Sicha B'Teilo, Haino Afilu Sicha Schulin Shilitzor Parnosa Debachutz Shori Bebeis Knesses Osor. So in the Beis Knesset, we don't talk about business. Ubefrat, sicha v'teilu legamri, that's totally meaningless. V'vadei sheroi l'noa tomid b'zeh, even outside the Beis HaKnesset. Ubezorah kodesh parashas v'yakel, hiflig mi'od b'godol ha'oven azeh. V'kol shkein sheyesh li'zor b'Beis HaKnesset, Beis HaMedrash mi'avon diburim asurim, kigon loshan hara, urechilus machlokas uktotos. These are Diburim Asurim that are prohibited outside the Beis HaKnesses. How much more so in the Beis HaKnesses? Ki milvachem avonos chamurim miod on yigdal ha'avon yosir b'makom kadosh. כי הוא מזלזל בכבוד השכינה. ואין אדומי אחותי בינו לבין עצמו אחותי בפלוטים של מלך לפני המלך. ועוד תגדל הרוע הזה וזה שהוא מכשיל גם הסרבים בעוונוס החמורוס. Fine. So a very stark Musa Shmuz here from the Chofetz Chaim about Lashon Hara and other Dibur Masurim that are quadruple Asur in the Beis HaKnesses. Now on Ein Ochlin Vishosim, the Be'er Loch writes also Lishtos Mayim BeBeis HaKnesses Beis Medrash L'Mishenu Tamid Chacham. So there can be certain kulas he's already hinting for a Talmud Chacham. And the Mechaber goes on to give us a list of other things that we should be enjoined from doing in the Beis HaKnesses. And then he gets into the issue of entering into the Beis HaKnesses to use it for your own personal benefits. Like, for example, sometimes you go into a Beis HaKnesses in order to protect you from the rains and the wind and so forth and so on. And there are very strict rules about how and when that's allowed. And those are the dinim here that the Mechaber codifies at the beginning of Kuf Nun Aleph. Morning, how are you, John?
Morning.
Okay. So I brought a Shulchan Aruch here to learn a little bit of the halachas of Beis HaKnesses. We'll spend another 2-3 minutes on this. And he writes the following. He says, "Lo miskashtim bohem, v'lo mitailim bohem." So we don't use the Beis HaKnesses as a beauty parlor, and we don't just walk in the Beis HaKnesses just for the sake of exercise. And then he says, and this is what we're going to discuss today, "Meretz Hashem, lo nichnosim bahem b'chama ne'achama g'shomim she'ek shomim." So we don't use the Beis HaKnesses for our protection. Now, he has a heter achil and shtir for talmidei chachamim, and we'll have to learn about that today as well. And then he says, "Ein mechashvim bahem cheshbonos." So this is not the place that you do regular cheshbonos. Later he's going to say that cheshbonos shel mitzvah, like a kupa shel tzedakah and a pidyon shvuyim, that you're allowed. Then he gets to the whole issue, which today is very relevant, about hesped. Do you do a hesped inside a Beis Knesses? And that's an issue. Okay, let's leave this here. So we'll get back to it. And now we'll take a look at the Gemara on Daf Chof Ches Amud Aleph. And we're almost up to the Mishnah on the bottom. The last thing that we spoke about was Shalu Talmida Ves Rabbi Zera Bameharachta Yamin. It doesn't say exactly how old Rabbi Zera is, but it seems that he was quite old. And they thought there must have been some sort of zchus, some sort of merit that he had to enjoy this bracha of longevity. And we saw earlier in the Gemara that Rabbi Zera was a person who was very makbid not to take gifts because he didn't want to receive Sori Matanis Yichriya. He did not want to receive gifts. But for some reason, that wasn't Rabbi Zera's response when they asked him why he was zocher to longevity. So he says the following. We'll see, he has a list here, I think, of four things. We'll count it up as we go along. Number one, miyomai lo hikpadati b'tov beisi. In other words, even if somebody insulted me in the confines of my house, and let's say if I would have lashed back at him and put him in his place, as we would say, it wouldn't have humiliated that person because it's inside the privacy of the walls. Even so, I was very careful about this. I didn't want to in any way insult him, and therefore I would look the other way, so to speak. I wouldn't be sensitive about it. And he says here in the footnote, "Hainu afilu sheze betoch habayis ubitzina v'ein busha b'kach," and I wouldn't be embarrassing him, but nevertheless lo hikpadati, I wasn't makpid. "V'kolshken how much more so b'farhesi in public mitei acherim." That's what it says here.
That's number one. Number two, v'lo tza'adati b'fnei mishe gadol mimeni. You know, sometimes you have people walking together, and he, Rabbi Yisrael, would make sure that if somebody was greater than him in Torah, he would not walk in front of them. V'lo hirharti b'mavo samitunafos. Okay, here we have a halacha of machshava, of hirhur b'divrei Torah. And the Gemara in Shabbos derives from the pasuk for Hoya Machnecha Kadosh, that you're not allowed to, if you yourself are in a state of kedusha of hirur b'divrei Torah, you can't go into a place which is antithetical to Torah, to hirur b'divrei Torah. And the Marsha says that the chiddush here in the case of Reb Zeira is kevin shloholach arba amos below Torah. Now the next line is, oh, lafti arba'amis below Torah below tefillin. L'chein nizar shelo leilech b'mavos ha-metunafos. In other words, he avoided a mako metunaf, which was filthy, because if we'd go there, then he would have to go without Torah, and he would never want to walk without Torah. Then he quotes the Mitzpeh Eson, that kevin shelo holach arba'amis below Torah, yamutalo me'ikar adin lahar b'divrei Torah. Okay, so for this we'd have to learn a sugyan zvachim, that for some people we would allow them. Lo halachti avramis v'lo tor b'tfilin, lo yashanti beis ha-medj, lo shenis keva, v'lo shenis ha-roy. He was very makpid, not even to allow himself to dribble away, you know, even on a temporary basis. Lo sasti v'takolas chaveri, I would not be happy at the downfall of my friend. This is based on a pasuk of Mishlei, bin foloi vecha al tismach. And then, lo karasi lechaveri bechanichoso, v'amile bechanichoso. Okay, fine. So that's, he didn't want to use those names. So now we're going to start the new Mishnah, which is on the bottom of Chof Ches Amid Aleph. Now the Mishnah starts with the words, v'od omer Rabbi Yehuda. So we have to go back to the previous Mishnah, for a moment, to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda was opposed to selling a Beis HaKnesses without adding the following condition, that it's got to be Shalom. Let's take a look at Rabbi Yehuda in the previous Mishnah, which we'll see here. Just one second. On Daf Chav Zayin Amid Beis. It's the second Mishnah towards the top of the page. He says, Rabbi Yehuda, Mochrin also l'shem chatzer, that when you sell a Beis HaKnesses, you have to stipulate to the lokeach, to the buyer, that it's only going to be used for a chatzer. Chatzer is considered a more elegant kind of use of the area. So that was a chumrah of Rabbi Yehuda, because if he didn't sell it l'shem chatzer, if he just sold it what's called stam, then he would not, the mechira would not be strong enough or capable of being mafkia the kedusha, and you wouldn't be allowed to use it for chulin. The only time that Rabbi Yehuda allows you to use it for chulin is if you stipulated that you're selling it l'shem chatzer. So that's the chumrah of Rabbi Yehuda. So if you take a look quickly at Tosfos Divrei Maskil V'od, Kashi says my V'od. So he says, Yeshlama de Kaya Hod Yom Rabbi Yehuda Bereshim Mokhin Oso L'Shem Chotze, Dafta L'Shem Chotze Komar. That's the Chumar of Rabbi Yehuda, that he restricts the Mechira and the permissibility to sell it to the case where he's stipulating that it's for a Chotze. Well, Stam, if he doesn't add that stipulation, Eini Yoredis Mikdu Shasa. And now we're going to get another Chumar of Rabbi Yehuda, and that's the Chumar in our Mishnah. It still has Kedushas Beis HaKnesses. And you'll see in a minute that he's going to derive this from a pasuk. I think we've mentioned this already in the past. And as a result of the fact that the Beis HaKnesses retains its Kedusha, even if it's desolate and destroyed, therefore, number one, Ein Maspidim B'Tocho, we don't do a Hesped for a dead person. We're going to soon see that there are exceptions to this rule, but Ein Mafshilim B'Tocho Chavolim, they used to use a certain area for their own personal malacha. So they used to lower down like pulleys and pull things up from the bottom. In personal tocha mitzudos, we don't put traps in order to catch chayos and ofos. Now again, in these cases of mitzudos, I think what's happening is, let me take a step backwards. It says here, Beis Knesses Shecharev, it's not exactly clear what is the extent of that desolation. For example, did the foundations of the Beis Knesses become destroyed, or it's just one of the walls became destroyed, or something happened to the inside? They said, there are different levels of churban. But I have the suspicion that in this case, when it says ein parsel socha mitzudos, he's talking about a total destruction of the Beis HaKnesses. What you're left with is just level ground. And nevertheless, you can't put traps there because there are two kedushas of Beis HaKnesses. There's kedushas mechitzos, when the structure is up, and then there's another kedusha which is called the kedushas makom, that the place itself retains its kedusha even if the walls are down. But the next line in the Mishnah, I think, is talking about a slightly different scenario, because he says, "Ein shotchin al gago peros," that you're not allowed to use the roof of the Beis HaKnesses for shtichas peros. You know, so they used to take their fruits up to the roof and they used to dry them in the hot sun. Now, it's possible, I don't have any basis for this. But it's possible that this part of the Mishnah of Ein Shotchin al Gago Peros is already moving on to, it drops the ratio, which is talking about Shecharev, and he's talking about Beis HaKnesses in general. Why do I say that? Because look at the next line in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "V'ein osin oso kapandria." Now that makes sense if you're still using the Beis HaKnesses, because we're going to have a whole discussion here about when you're allowed to use the Beis HaKnesses as a shortcut to get to another instead of walking all the way around the block, you go straight through. You make a beeline, so to speak.
Didn't we have that as a that was given as a restriction before.
Right, so maybe right. Now so, he's adding that even after Churban, that's what I don't know. Is he
so
telling
maybe, yeah, maybe that these other, that the other restrictions, therefore, are things that actually apply even when it's not to a regular Beis Knesset, and he's saying all of these apply right. After
right.
Churban.
Right, let's take a look in the Shulchan Aruch and see if we can get... if we get a sense of what this Mishnah is referring to here. He speaks here in Simon Kufnun Aleph about the various prohibitions that apply to a Beis HaKnesses. And he writes, "Afilu liachar shecharvu adayin heim b'kedushasal." And if you take a look at the next line in that Mishnah, the Mishnah says, "Shenemar vashimosi es mikdashechem." And b'kedushasan, kedushasan, af kishehen shomemin. So that's what we have here in the Shulchan Aruch. And he writes the following: "B'kishem shenogim v'hem kovid b'yishuvam, kach nogim b'churbanam." Okay, that's what he says over here. Now, where do we find? He speaks about. Then he writes, "Afilu b'churbano." He says, "Lo maguna." He says, "Litashmish maguna kigon zria to plant there the cheshbono shel ravim." He says that still remains asur. Now, it's very difficult for me to know exactly what is asur and what is mutter. He tells you that Zriya and Cheshbonah Shel Ravim is Asur. We had in our Mishnah, Ein Shotchin Al Gabe Al Gagol Peros, Ein Osin Oso Kapandria. So where is that? I don't understand why the Shulchan Aruch omits that. All he has here is is Ria and Cheshbono Shel Rav. All right, maybe we'll figure that out.
Cheshbono Shel Rav, what would that include? Cheshbono Shel Rav, is that a broad category?
No, I don't know. The Mishnah Berurah doesn't tell you what it is here. He says, Yesh Bezeh Kalus Rosh. That's what he says, that you make your calculations. I guess it's like an accountant. You know, he brings all his papers and he makes cheshbonos. You know, so that's called a severe kalus rosh. So again, I'm just opening up with the introductory question here. What exactly are you allowed to do after the churban? What exactly is churban? So I'm hoping that the Shulchan Aruch and the Mishnah Berurah maybe will help us. Let's just look at the last line in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "Olu bo'as savim." So again, this is clearly a case where the Beis Knesses is totally removed, and all you're left with is the makom, the location, and now it's growing grass, which looks like real churban. It's usually, you know, you mow the lawn, you cut down the grass. And here he says that since the grass is growing here, it doesn't have to be grass, anything that's wild, you know, that grows there, that itself is a dramatic indication of the fact that it's charev. Is lo yitlosh mipnei agmas nefesh. You should leave it exactly as it is. People should know that we once had a Beis Knesses there, and that's going to cause them agmas nefesh, because every time they pass by and they see what a wreck it looks like, you know, nobody's even taking care of it, then they feel anguish about it. And as a result, he says, Yizkiru Yimei B'niyaso, well, remember when the Beis Knesses was standing, Shal Yeregilu L'Sasev Shom, that they used to gravitate towards there in multitudes, V'yavakshu Rachamim, and they should turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and ask, Sheyachzor L'Kadmuso, that he should return the situation to what it once was. So let me share with you a few notes here in the Masifta. First of all, as far as the V'od, which is the opening line in the Mishnah, which we saw Tosfos, he summarizes Tosfos and he says the following. He says, Afal Pisha Mekil Rabbi Yehuda, in certain aspects, Rabbi Yehuda in the previous Mishnah was the Mekil, because he said that once you make that stipulation that it's L'Shem Chatzir in the Mechira, then the buyer can use it for anything without any restrictions, whereas the Chachamim had four different categories of Atashmish Bozui that remain even after the sale. But nevertheless, he says, Machmir L'inyan Zeh, there is one element, one dimension of Chumrah in Rabbi Yehuda in the previous Mishnah, Shetzarech L'farish B'shas HaMachirish HaMochus HaBeis HaKnes L'Shem Chotzer, unless he stipulates explicitly that this is being sold for a Chotzer, in Mochos Tam, Eina Yorid Mikdushas Beis HaKnes, the Mechira doesn't function at all as a pinyon. If you remember, we spoke about the concept of redeeming the Kedusha Beis HaKnesses. Now, the Chiddush of Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah, which is another Chumrah, is that a Beis HaKnesses b'churbono, it still retains its Kedusha with all these Yisurim that we mentioned. And in the footnote here, he addresses the following question. What would the Chachamim say about Beis Knesses b'churbono? You know, the fact that it says V'od sounds like Rabbi Yehuda against the Chachamim, like he was Machmer in the previous mission, he required the Mechira would be Tzarech L'Farish L'Shem Chatz, and here too, he's adding another Chumrah, which maybe the Chachamim didn't accept. And he's Medayik here. This, I think, an original Masifta Diuk. He says that if you look carefully in the Shulchan Aruch, you'll see that the Shulchan Aruch has a psak like the Chachamim in Rabbi Yehuda, which means that you're allowed to sell a Beis HaKnesses without any stipulation, but all the four Tashmishim Bezuyim are all Asa. So the Shulchan Aruch has codified the Halach like the Chachamim. And nevertheless, as we saw just a minute ago, the Shulchan Aruch also passes like our Mishnah, that even after the Churban, it still retains its Kedusha. So it seems like the Gemara is just quoting Rabbi Yehuda by name, but it doesn't mean that the Chacham rejected him. So whatever we're learning in this Mishnah, according to at least this note, is accepted la halacha. I'm just a little perplexed because I didn't find that the Shulchan Aruch quoted this entire halacha. Maybe I'm looking in the wrong place. Let's just see if he tells you where to look. He says,
but
just one second. He says, Simon Kuf Nun Aleph Sif Yud, which is, I think, the exact place that we just looked at, right? Afi Lachar Churbono Adayin B'Kedushasan. And then he goes on to the question of Olubo Asovim, and then he prohibits Tashmish Maguna Kegon,
maybe
Zriya and Cheshbonos. I don't know.
Maybe the Halacha, because that's after the Churban. But maybe these are restrictions that apply even when it exists. So, you know, because the only one that is definitely after Horban is, of course, the grass, because grass doesn't grow in a regular Beit Knesset.
Right.
So maybe what that's saying is that the halacha is that the restrictions that apply when it was a Horban still apply to the Beit Knesset. So you'd have to go to look at the section that has the restrictions as to what you can do with the Beit Knesset.
Right, maybe. But it is interesting that the Shulchan Aruch, you know, does pinpoint certain Isurim and not others. You know, I'd love to find the system here. What he's all right. Tana Rabbanan.
Sorry, one question. So, if they're accepting Rabbi Huda, are they accepting the restriction about you have to sell it and designate as a chatzah?
No,
only accepting these restrictions.
Right. No. Right. That's what he wants to point out. That even though we didn't accept Rabbi Huda in the previous Mishnah, we do accept Rabbi Huda in this Mishnah. That's what he says here. Afshe b'mishnah kodemes nechleku all of chachamim, and we pass like the chachamim. B'mishnah seinu modim lo, and that's what he tries to prove from the Shulchan Aruch. Okay. What else? Torah Rabban, bate knesios, and he adds here also bate Midrashos, that he quotes in the name of the Turiyemen. Anyway, Bate Knesios, Ein Nogimem Kalus Rosh. Now, the Isur of Kalus Rosh means to treat the place without any Mora. And we have to treat a Beis Knesset with Mora. And we discussed in the past, because a Beis Knesset is considered like the Beis HaMikdash, at least as far as Mora is concerned. That we have to have fear and awe of the Beis HaKnesses. And there are many stories in Jewish history where Rabbanim came along and they said that what happened, let's say for example, there was a destruction of Beis HaKnesses because the people were Noe Kalos Rosh and the Beis HaKnesses. Now, how far do you go with Kalos Rosh? I mean, there are certain activities that I do, not because I'm joking around, but simply for biological purposes. And even that becomes awesome. Ein ochlin bohem, the ein shosin bohem. So we're going to have to come up with some sort of an explanation to justify
how we do
this, right? So let's take a look on Chof Chesam in Beis.
I don't know many Beis Knesset where you don't.
Right. So that's going to be the whole sugi about Tanai. So ein ni osin bohem, right? So we can't use it as a beauty parlor. This is not a place where we just go for a spatzir, just for a walk. You know, we say that a sukkah is a place where you should, teshu came to do, it's like your own home. So it says beferish in Allah that metailim bohem, but not in the Beis HaKnesses. Oh, now this is very important. The ein nichnosim bohem bechama mipnei achama b'kshomim b'akshomim. So we're going to have a whole sugi about this. Under what circumstances would you be allowed to go into a shul simply to get out of the rain or get out of the cold winds? And right now what we see in this price is that there's an absolute isur. Now I think he tells you where to look in Shulchan Aruch. Let's see. Kufnun Aleph. Let's see if I'm finding the right place. Oh. Bate Knesios, Bate Midrashos, Ein Nogimem Kalos Rosh, Kigon Tzchok, the Sicha B'Tela. Wow, Sicha B'Tela, Rav Osai. You know, we're talking about just politics. You know, he's in Ochlin V'Shosim Bahem, below Miskashtin Bahem.
This is Kushma Ben Aleph.
Yeah, and we're not talking about Churban. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All these Yisurim that we're learning here will only apply before we get to the Churban.
Right.
Because when we get to the Churban, then we're going to say that there are certain dimensions of kavod here. But here I think we're talking about a whole different thing. We're talking about mora.
What's considered a Beit Knesset, though? It's like, let's say downstairs, the hallways between the individual rooms.
No, I think basically this is only the room where we daven. Okay. And we daven in the kfirs. Now, if again there are other minyanim, that would expand the din of Beis HaKnesses. Now he says, "Ein ochlin v'shosim bahem," and the Mishnah Bura says the following: "V'hu adin shein osim bahem shum melacha." We don't do melacha in a Beis HaKnesses. Again, he just leaves it very vague here, but that's what he says. And in the footnote, he says that the Gemara mentions Hafshalas Chavolim. Remember those pulleys that he throws in there? And he says, Hu Adin Shar Malacha. So that we shouldn't limit it to that particular Malacha that was mentioned in the Mishnah.
Oh, so here we have this. So this is applying it to active Beit Knesset.
Active Beit Knesset.
And then, okay, so now the Mishnah then applied it to the destruction, but it. So the Shulchan Aruch is basically reciting now that those restrictions,
right? But I'm not sure if he's going to extend them even b'churbanu. That's the part that's unclear to me. Again, we do have a mitzvah of kavod, you know, that we have to respect the area. Yeah, Moshe, sit here. But this mora element, you know, where you can't eat there. I don't know. I'm not sure. I'd love to know if that applies even after the churban. It's not absolutely clear to me because. He says Tashmish Maguna. I don't know. Is eating called the Tashmish Maguna? It's a lack of mora. You know what I'm saying? There are like a lot of gray areas in the middle that are not so extreme that it's a Tashmish Maguna. It's a gray area. It's not something that's relevant to tefillah, and maybe it's not mora, but it's not, you know, it's not antithetical to the place. I don't know. That's what confuses me.
So shouldn't have picnics there.
Okay, then he says, "Ein nichnasim b'hem b'chama b'nei chama b'gshamim b'nei agshamim." And he says the following: what happens if he wants to go into the shul because of the inclement weather, and he wants to read something in the shul, meaning read Torah in the shul, or learn something, or review something? So the Mishnah Berurah writes, "Lo mahani she yikra o yishna ma'at b'knisaso." Okay, again, this is not kapandria. It could be the dinim of kapandria. If you're using it as shortcut, maybe that's a little different. But at least as far as mitnei achama, which might be a separate category, I don't know. He says, "Not even." He says, "May achar she yuchal likones lebayis shel chol." Again, what is he saying over here? That he's going in and he's going to learn a little bit in the Beis Knesses. And it's also why he says, "Me'achar sheyuchal likones lebayis shel chol." Oh, I see what he's saying. In other words, we're not dealing with a desperate situation. He has other options. I guess it's more comfortable, it's closer in proximity to go into the shul. But on the other hand, he's not in a situation where he's gonna be stuck out there in the storm. And then he says, "Im losha osak mikodem b'ezed var alocha b'chutz." If he started learning outside the Beis Knesset, v'schilu gishamim leireid, and now the rains start falling, Oz mutalo likonis beisam medrash, kideshlo yatridu hagishamim. So in other words, he's entering the Beis HaKnesses for the purpose of Torah. In the first case, I think what's happening is he's going to the Beis HaKnesses for the purpose of protection, and then he decides, you know what, it looks a little funny that I came in just because of the rain, so I'll sit down and I'll read a pasuk. That's not enough. But if you already started learning and now you need to continue learning and you can't do so with the rains coming down, then he says you're allowed to go in.
But even if you're not learning and there's no other place to go, you're allowed to. Is that?
But that we didn't get up to yet. I mean, you know, that's, he says kiddul come on. So I don't know. I'm just saying he seems to hint to that. He gives us a little bit of a preview that we're talking about a case where he has another option. That's what the Mishnah Berurah seems to be saying, if I read it correctly. Okay, now let's see what else the Mishnah is going to tell us over there. No, this is a Brice, excuse me. And it says we're here on the top of Chof Ches. And he says, V'ein maspidim bahem hespeid shel yochid. In other words, as an individual dies, and it's not like the whole community is up in shock. He's not one of the great leaders of the community. And this is not a reflection of the covenant of Beis HaKnesses to go into the Beis HaKnesses for a hespeid. Hence, for example, in Yerushalayim, but again, this is true all over the world, we have special chapels for hespeidim.
But they're not Beis HaKnesses.
Not a Beis HaKnesses. Like, for example, I just mentioned one. Are you familiar with Shamgar?
Shamgar.
Mm-hmm. Shamgar is a really old, you know, that goes back, I don't know, probably even before the state. I don't know. It's an ancient Beit Levayot, they call it. So this whole institution of a Beit Levayot, I think, is generated by this Mishnah, this Braisa that we're learning. But again, keep in mind that we're talking about Hesped Shal Yochit. Aval. So what do we do in a Beis HaKnesses other than Davin? Korin Bahem. So we're allowed to go in there to read, you know, let's say Tanakh. Vishonim Bahem. That's already Mishnah. So we're allowed to learn Torah in a Beis HaKnesses. In other words, I think he's coming Lafuke. Don't think that we single out a Beis HaKnesses for Tefillah, therefore we exclude Torah. It's not the exclusion of Torah. I mean, you and I might say Peshitta, you know, might come Ashvalon, but I guess the Chiddush is that, we classify something as a Beis HaKnesses and something else as a Beis HaMedrash. It's not mutually exclusive. They can overlap. So it means that you'd be allowed to daven in a Beis HaMedrash. And then with regard to Hespeid, Maspidim Bahem Hespeid Shel Rabim. So here's what he says about a Hespeid Shel Rabim, because that concept is very ambiguous. So he writes the following, and you can look in Rashi. Mm-hmm. He says, "Kigon chacham shemeis shetzrichim l'asef ulahaspido." In other words, we want to gather the entire community together. Ubeis haknesses hu makom roy lekach lefisha makom gadol hu. Right, it's a large structure that could accommodate the entire community, and therefore. Mutal haspido sham. Now, again, a lot of this is very technical. I would have said, if not for the technicalities here, that it doesn't undermine the sanctity of the Beis HaKnesses if you're being maspid a chacham shemes. There's a din of kvod ames, and here we have not only kvod ames in the general sense, we have an additional element of kvod. Talmidei Chachamim, so that jacks up the Kvod HaMes to a higher level, and maybe that's enough to trump the Kedusha of Beis HaKnesses. But he's saying something a little bit different, and that is that for the sake of the Chacham Shemes, we need a large area, and we're going to look aside, and we're going to say we'll allow you to use a Beis HaKnesses because that's a large area. Omar Rabbi Yehuda, a Masai. We're going back now to the part of the mission that we spoke about removing asavim. Correct, that we want to take away the grass that's growing after the churban. And he says the following, that b'yishuvan, if the Beis Knesses is still in use, and we're still davening there, then we want to get rid of any asavim that might disturb even the aesthetic beauty of the Beis HaKnesses. But the churbanam, on the contrary, we want it to look really lousy, really unkempt. Why, manichin osan, leave it alone, olim bahen asavim, v'lo yitlosh, mipnei agmas nefesh. As we discussed earlier, you weren't here, Moshe, that we want people to walk by and see this is where there was a Beis Knesses, and now look what it looks like. The grass is growing wild, it's unkempt. And then we'll be mavakesh rachamim, so that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will answer our pleas, and we'll be able to rebuild the Beis HaKnesses. So the Gemara asks, asavim mandekar shmaya. it seems like when Rabbi Yehuda says Emosai, he's asking when are you allowed to take off the asav and remove the grass. Mandakar Shmaya, this is a classical Talmudic structure. Where does it say in the Mishnah that you're allowed to, or you have to remove the asavim? And then Rabbi Yehuda says, well, that's only the Yeshuva, but not the Hurbana. So the Gemara answers, Chisuri Metzah, there's a piece of the Brisa that's missing here. Here's how we have to read it. Hachikton. Mechadin Osan, we have to clean the base Knesset. We have to guarantee that it remains clean. Umarbitzin Osan. Marbitzin Osan, I think, means they used to pour like water on the, because the floor was full of dust. And then they would clean up the dust from the karka, and that's called zilof mayim, otherwise known as marbitzin. Kidesh lo yalu ben asovim. In other words, if we clean up the base knesses, we're going to make sure that it's not growing wild grass.
I think they also had dirt floors in a lot of them too.
Mm. Yeah, that's what I meant to say, but I guess I forgot to say it. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Emosai, when does that apply that we do a kibud of a base knesses? We want to make it look beautiful. That's b'yishuvan. That's because it's an active base knesses. Amar b'churbanon. On the contrary, menichin osan laos, let the grass grow. And therefore, after it grows, olam emasom lo yitlosh mebnei agmas nefesh. Omar of Asi, Botek Nesil Shabibovel Al Tnai Hemasuyim. Okay, now this is the Sugi of Tnai, but right now we're only seeing a very small segment of the Sugi of Tnai, because we're now talking about a Tnai for a Churban. In other words, that when they built the Beit Knesset, they had in mind a condition for what will be after it is no longer in use, when it's desolate. Now, point number one, it says, "Batei Knesil Shebibovel." So he writes on the bottom that we're not talking about only Bovel. Bovel here is a paradigm of Chutz Laretz, and we should realize that what we're about to see a leniency with regard to the Churban, and that leniency applies only in Chutz Laretz. And why is that so? Because in Chutz Laretz there's something lacking in the Kedusha of a Beis HaKnesses. You know, we have in Chutz Laretz the most beautiful Batei Knesios. I always, because I'm a New Yorker, so I always think of what's called Ocean Parkway. Have you been to Ocean Parkway? It's just mind-boggling what the Syrian community has built in Ocean Parkway. No, it's just, you can't believe it. It's worth, you know, your next trip to America, just to go up and down Ocean Parkway and see one beautiful structure after the other.
In Brooklyn.
In Brooklyn, New York.
My father-in-law built a number of those.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is he Syrian?
Syrian, yeah, not yet. So.
Oh, half and half.
He has a lot of cousins, and yeah, they live. It's all connected.
Yeah. I think I told you the story once. I was passing by Shari Zion. That's like one of the major edifices on Ocean Park, where it's a Syrian shul. So I walked in, and as you come in, there's a list of donors for the new mikveh they're building. The top donor was, I think, if I'm trying to remember whether it was $250,000 or $500,000, and the bottom donor after the whole list was $25,000. That was the lowest donor. That's when the dollar was worth something, I'm saying.
Yeah.
He says the following, that why is it that in Chutz Laretz, with all due respect, it still is lacking in some element of Kedusha? He says, D'li'es b'goel, when Mashiach will come, v'meir v'yameinu, tipaka kedushasam. In other words, all the Kedusha will be transferred over to Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, Moel Tnai, that's why it's effective to make a condition when you build the shul in Chutz Laretz, that after its destruction, Lafkia Kedushasam, Abel Batek Nesisha Eretz Yisrael, Kedushasam Li Olam Kayemes, V'lo Moel Behem Tnai. So all this is a summary of Tosis here. This top tosan of Chesam and Beis, and he tells you to look in the Mishnah Berurah Kufnun Aleph Sivkotin Lamed Ches. Okay, so that's what we have here. Kufnun Aleph Sivkotin Lamed Ches. This is a gigantic simon here about Beis HaKnesses. He says the following: Lefi das hamogen Avram, gam bi eretz Yisrael mahani tnai litashmishim she'ein bohem kalus rosh. So right away I see two chidushim here. Number one, that we have to really categorize different tashmishim, and we're going to begin to understand that certain tashmishim are called yesh bohem kalus rosh and others are not kalus rosh. So again, I'm thinking, but don't distract me, because I don't know if what I'm saying is right or not, so don't attack me. But I'm thinking that Achil and Shasiya maybe is not the same as Kalos Rosh, because he has his two categories.
Is this for after?
Wait, just one more second. And now we have another Chiddush over here in the Mishnah Berurah, based on this Magen Avraham. And that is that even in Eretz Yisrael, we're going to validate a Tnai, so that after the Churban, even in Eretz Yisrael, we're allowed to engage in tashmishim that aren't kalus rosh. So we have a structure here, the following. If you go from the worst to the best, so to speak, the most severe to the less severe, you have on the top tashmish el bizayon. Then you get down to something called kalus rosh, which seems to be some sort of general mushroom kind of category. And then you dip below it. And I'm just throwing out an idea here that, just for pedagogical purposes, I might be totally wrong about this, but it gives you at least the conceptual idea. Achil and Shasiya. In other words, it could be that when the Mechaber starts and saying, and he says, Einogibahen, Kalus Rosh, then he writes, V'ein Ochlin V'shosibahen. In other words, that's a separate category. And you'll ask me, what's the nafgamina? Who cares whether it's you know, you call it kalus rosh, don't call it kalus rosh? The answer is, maybe there's a nafgamina b'churbanam. And even in Eretz Yisrael, where Tanai doesn't work, but as far as Achil and Shasiya is concerned, Tanai would work. I'm just giving you a thought that occurred to me, because I don't know exactly what the Magen Avraham is allowing in Eretz Yisrael b'churbanam if they made it Tanai. So we're going to have three conditions. Number one, I'm talking about a base Knesset of Israel. Number one, at the time that they built the base Knesset, they made a Tanai that there would be Afkas Kedusha when it's destroyed, when it's desolate. Number two, after making that Tanai, we're going to allow, even in Eretz Yisrael, I'm sorry, let's go, we're going to prohibit, even after the Tanai, and even after it became Chorev, we're going to prohibit Kalos Rosh, okay? Which is exactly what our sugya is being matir in Bavel because of the Tanai. And number three, but something lower than Kalos Rosh, which is just a Tashmishal Chol, we'll call it, but without Kalos Rosh, that becomes mutter, according to the Magen Avraham, in Eretz Yisrael, if you had a Tanai when you built the synagogue, and now it's desolate. You have to add all these conditions.
But so we still don't have the Tanai that allows current, the way people use.
Right. Then we're not addressing that issue. You know, that's a different kind of Tanai. As I told you before, what we're seeing here is only, what should I say, the tip of the iceberg. You know, when we talk about Tanai, the Gemara is going sort of like from the bottom up. You know, as we haven't seen a more profound effectiveness of Tanai. We're talking about the efficacy of Tanai only as far as Bichurbano is concerned. And he's saying that here's the way the Magen Avraham is learning this sugya of Rav Asi, is that here's the difference between Chutz La'aretz and Eretz Yisrael. In both cases, says the Magen Avraham, Tanai is effective, such that after the Churban, you're going to permit some element of Kedusha, you're going to remove some element of Kedusha, but here's the difference. In Bavel, you go as far as being matir certain tashmishim which would not be mutter in Eretz Yisrael. Okay? And Afal Pichet, he says, Einogim hem kalus rosh. So what is kalus rosh? Remember, we discussed kalus rosh, but we never really got a grasp on what it is. And he says, my nihu, cheshbonos. Okay, so what's cheshbonos? You know, we saw in the Shulchan Aruch, he mentions cheshbonos. He says, ein mechashvin bohem cheshbonos. But then he writes, and this I think is coming up later on in the sugya, I don't know exactly where, but he says, Elim Kein Heim Shal Mitzvah. Now, when I heard about Cheshbonos Shal Mitzvah, the first thing that came to my mind is Shatchanos. Because it says in Shabbos that you're not allowed to talk about business matters on Shabbos. But there's a heter to make up with a shadchan, how much you're going to pay him or her if they make a shidduch. Or maybe even if they don't make the shidduch, but at least they make an effort. But he says here, Kigon, what's the case of cheshbon shel mitzvah, kupa shel tzedaka? Now, I'm not sure what he means by kupa shel tzedaka, meaning how much money we're going to be able to allocate for the poor people, or how much money we want to collect for the poor people, maybe all the above.
Counting the money as well?
I don't think you're allowed to count the money.
I'm sorry.
My brain was I was talking about Davud Dover, but yeah, right. Here we're talking about Pesach Knesses, so you can count the money on the in the weekday. Upinyan Shvuyim. I don't know. He like adds Pinyan Shvuyim almost as like a secondary kind of category. I would say Pinyan Shvuyim is mutter even on Shabbos and even to count the money. You know, yeah. It's like Mamash Pikuach
Nefesh. All Nachama here, they had a problem. Anyways, long story short, the suggestion was is that when they count take the money out of the tzedakah jar, whatever thing, they should have two people counting it and sign off how much was written and write a receipt for how much they got.
Right. Yeah. you have to learn Hilchus tzedakah for that.
What makes you think Knesset though? In other words, does it have to be designated by Knesset?
Yeah. Has to be designated. As a Beit Knesset for the purpose of davening, and we're talking now about Ravin. What about a Yochid that we didn't discuss?
So what I'm wondering is, could it be that a lot of Beit Knesset today, where people are eating, in other words, maybe they're designated as a public place where davening occurs, and therefore these, in other words, if you don't designate it as a Beit Knesset, but it's a place where the davening
maybe. I don't know. Again, for me, that's futuristic. I'm just trying to get through Churban. That's how. That's a subject. Okay, then. Then he says, now once he's established that you're not allowed to have cheshbonos in a Beis HaKnesses, then he adds another statement from Rav Asi. Oh, Rav Asi, the same Rav Asi, Beis Knesses shemachashvim bo cheshbonos, melinin bo es hames. Now, there's something very interesting going on, because at surface level, it seems that you can set up a Beis Knesses where they do have cheshbonos. And once you set it up as that incomplete Beis Knesses in terms of its Kedusha, is then you're allowed to malinim bo es hames. You're allowed to take the dead body and leave it in the Beis Knesses, I guess until you're ready to bury it. So Gemara doesn't understand this. Shall we take this literally melinin? That we really leave a dead body in a Beis HaKnesses? Salka daito? Can that be possible? And not only that, the language of melinin seems to imply that that's exactly what we have to do. As if it's an obligation. Now, halonas hames, which literally means postponing its burial, is something that's absolutely forbidden. Again, except under, you know, extenuating circumstances. Oh, so the Gemara asks the following. Lo sagi de lav hochi, meaning, is it possible that we could permit such a thing? And even if it, who cares about cheshbonos? I mean, you're not allowed to do such a thing. Ella says the Gemara, what he's saying is, Rav Asi, not that you have to be mal hesames, that's something that's absolutely forbidden. He's implying almost a certain curse or a punishment. Lasov, as a result of the fact that they do these cheshbonos, which is a kind of form of kalas rosh, right, as we said before, in a Beis Knesses, the city will be punished. Now, I don't know what that means, the city will be punished. It means every member of the city or certain individuals who took the Kedushas Beis HaKnesses lightly. But it says, L'basof, at the end, She'alinu bo mes mitzvah. And he writes here, Yamusu be'ir mesim she'elem kovrim. What's a mes mitzvah? There's no one in the family there to take care of the burial. Now the Mishnah Berurah goes on a whole tirade here, based on this Gemara. I never saw such a Mishnah Berurah. I mean, it just doesn't stop. Look at the size of this Mishnah Berurah here. You know, if you fill your Mishnah Berurah, this is like unusual. He quotes the Zohar, and he says about Kalas Rosh and Beis HaKnesses that Hazor beParshas VaYakel Hiflig Miod beGodel Ovan Hazeh. I'm afraid to even read this. I'm telling you, it's scared the pants off.
He says
Yeshli Zor beBeis HaKnesses Beis HaMedrash MeAvon Diburim Asurim with a kolshken. He says if you can't talk about the weather, and how much more so? Can go lashon hara, rechilus, machlokus, ktotos, kimolvachem avonus chamurim miod. O yigdal haavon yosef b'makom kadosh, ki mezalzel b'kavod hashchina. V'ein dome hachotei beino levein atzmo lachotei beflotin shel melech lifnei amelech. V'od tigdal haroa zeshu machshil gamas arabim b'avonus chamurim. And he goes on and says that terrible things could happen, and he describes the, you know, this whole avalanche of what could be if we don't respect the Beis HaKnesses properly. And then the Mishnah, the Brisa says, "Eini osin b'hem amarava chachamim v'talmideim mutarim." Now here we have two ways of learning this Gemara. One way of learning it is to say that mutarim is referring to neosim b'hem. But that's a little bit strange. Why would a Talmud Chacham have to use a Beis Knesses to beautify himself? Maybe he has to straighten out his tie. Maybe he has to, you know, he has a chup, so he has to, you know, comb his hair. I don't know. But more likely, this is referring to achila and shesia. Because achila and shesia is on a lower level. It's not the same kind of an isur. The osim b'hem is when you really flaunt the Beis Medrash, and I'm using it as my personal beauty parlor. But in the case of achil and shesia, you know, he's doing it for the sake of strengthening himself so that he can continue learning or davening. And this is the Gemara that we mentioned last week, the Omer of Yeshua ben Levi, my Beira Banan. Why is it that we describe a Beis Medrash as Beira Banan, which literally means the house of the rabbis? Besa derabbanon, it's considered like his own bias, and therefore he's allowed to do normal things in a Beis HaMedrash which are not in any way a zilzul in the Beis HaMedrash. So we're not talking about a tashmish bazui in any sense. And now we want to see, does he tell you where to look in the Shulchan Aruch for this? There's no tzi in here to Shulchan Aruch. One second. Can anybody help me out here? Look in the Ein Mishpat and tell me where to find in the Shulchan Aruch. The Cheshbonos. What about... Beis. Let's see what he has here. Beis. Oh, he tells us... he says it's in Sif Aleph. Okay, good. So we didn't see this. And he says the following. V'talmidei chachamim, v'talmideihem, mutarim, this is the mechaber, mutarim lecho v'lishtos b'hem. Okay, so he's allowing eating and drinking. He doesn't say anything. In the previous line, he wrote that you're not allowed to use the Beis Knesses for a beauty parlor. And when he gets to talmidei chachamim, he allows eating and drinking. And then he says, midochak. Now, what does that extra word, midochak, mean? So I'm going to look in the Mishnah Berurah and see if I could figure out what he means. First of all, lechol v'lishtos, the Mishnah Berurah says, v'hu adin lishon. He's allowed to sleep in a Beis HaMedrash. Mm-hmm. We'll see about a Beis HaKnesses. Avolasos kapandria, olikonis behem v'chamam v'necham v'gshom v'gshomim, is that's osur. V'kol shkein tzchok v'hitu v'sicha v'teila asurim. Ti otu talmidei chachomim einu muzar al bor av migdosh. Talmud Chacham was also obligated more of Migdash. But he's allowed to eat and drink there. And we said he's allowed to sleep there. So those are his biological basic needs. Now, what was the word Migdochak? Hainu. Shechaya mokom dochuk l'talmidim. I guess he means there was no kitchen facility or something along that line. Vehutzuchu lechol sham. They had no choice but to eat there. When I say no choice, I'm not saying that, you know, they would die if they didn't eat there, but, you know,
they have to go home or interrupt their studies to, exactly, to leave. And
exactly. And what's so terrible about eating there? I mean, if you're telling me it's Bei Rabbona and it's their house. Now, he writes here that the Magen Avraham Kosav, Dil Anoshim Halomdim Shom Bekvius, if people learn there on a kvius, you know, they're not, you know, they're not great scholars necessarily, but they have a set time that they learn there. Is shasat chaku, then for them it's considered shasat chak. So drop the ball on talmidei chacham. We're not going to ask you to take an exam and see if you can pass the rabbanut, you know, and get Rav Ha'ir. You know, that's it.
So Moshe can finish his coffee then.
Well, I don't, you know, I have a strong feeling. I'm hoping at the end of the day, where before we say goodbye to Masechta Megillah, we'll know the answer to this question. But I don't think that this is a Beis HaKnesses. But let's see. Okay, he says, "The im yitztarech lecho v'lishtos bebeisom bevadei yispatol mi limudo." That's exactly what you're saying, Eric. "Avlem ein lomdu bebeis HaKnesses beis HaMedrash." You don't learn there at all. "Asurim lecho v'lishtos shar." So again, this might open up a little bit of a petach for those who eat in a Beis Knesset, that maybe they feel that they learn there. Again, I don't know if they do, but right. You know, they claim they do.
But and you can't eat while you're davening.
It'll so interfere really, with their learning.
It doesn't apply if they're just going to daven, so they have to only, because you don't eat while you're davening anyway.
Right.
So Beis Knesset, so does it only apply if you're adding the learning to it as well?
Yeah. Right. So, does anybody have a pencil, or if not, I'll just write it with pen. I just want to make sure we know, you know, because between now and Sunday, you know, it's a long time. So, where are we up to?
When do you leave?
I'm leaving on Tuesday night, so I'm hoping, okay. if gentlemen, if you could be a Sunday morning and Tuesday, I mean, if there's any change, let me know, and I'll let you know if there's any change in my schedule, because I have to negotiate with my bodies, you know, to make sure.
And you're back after the Chag?
Yeah, I'll tell you the exact date. I don't have it with me now.